I can still remember in my first church in Atlanta, although it was 150 years ago, early my first year or maybe second, I decided that we were going to do a foot washing for Maundy Thursday. So I sent out a notice. Not only were the people who gave pedicures in the region very busy leading up to that, but I had my phone ring off the wall by people saying, if I come to the Maundy Thursday service, am I going to have to participate in the foot washing? So I bailed. Instead, I got two people who volunteered to ritualize the foot washing in the chancel area. And it was deeply moving. Some even wept. Maundy Thursday means the washing of feet. But for Presbyterians, just as for Simon Peter, it's taboo. When I did this investigation work afterwards, I found out that folks didn't so much mind having to wash other people's feet, it was their own they were worried about. The thought of someone else's hands on their calloused, mostly unpedicured, bunion and corn-covered feet was just way too embarrassingly intimate. It was way worse for those disciples, who all wore sandals, which meant their feet were tragically always, for lack of any better term, nasty. They knew that the only ones who would wash feet were the lowest of the lowest, the servants and the women. There was a rule in Hebrew that women, the wives, were called to wash their husbands' feet. Husbands did not have to wash their wives' feet. And certainly not the Lord Jesus doing it for the disciples. It is understood in the Arab world that the soles of your feet, the soles of your shoes, or the soles of your feet are an insult if you point them at someone, if you show them to someone. And that was true in those days. In the Bible, feet are a big deal. When Moses first heard God call him out of the burning bush, God said to him, Moses, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. And the psalmist says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Paul says about Jesus in Corinthians that he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And John's passage tonight shows us that the way Jesus does this, by putting his enemies under his feet, is not by squashing them, but by humbling himself, taking the form of a servant and washing their feet instead. There it is. The kingdom of heaven paradox. Here's the thing. This story of Jesus and his last night with them before he was betrayed, not just by Judas, of course, but by all of the other disciples, is actually not about their feet. Instead, it is about hands. The work of Jesus' hands that turns the tide on the powers of darkness and death. John says that during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took his robe off, tied a towel around himself, poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with that towel that he had girded himself with. This is right after Jesus had taken a loaf in his hand and broken it and said, "This is my body broken for you," and with his hand reached out for the cup and lifted it up and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." It's about his hands. The Bible understands hand as the metaphor for one's power. The hand of God symbolizes God's sovereignty as well as the essence of God, as well as the essence of us, one's heart. When you offer your hand in marriage, you are offering yourself in service and unconditional love. When you come to someone open-handed, it is a sign of your willingness to serve them and to love them. So when God wants to show us his essence and his power, he does so in Jesus, who pulls a basin of water over in front of each of them, gets down on his knees, reaches out, picks up their feet one by one, and washes them with his hands, and then dries them with the towel, the perfect implement, because it conforms to Jesus' hand itself. It's hard to imagine, but try, the impact that this had on his followers. Their leader, their savior, their Messiah, washing their feet with those hands. Peter's objection, as is usually the case for all of the disciples, speaks for all of us, not me. Yes, me and you. I imagine the thing that those disciples remembered most about Jesus after he left them and left the kingdom up to them was what he had done with those hands. Which may be why when Thomas came later after Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, showing the disciples his hands and the scar on his side, Thomas only wanted to see his hands, not only for the scars, but also so that he would recognize those same hands that had washed his feet. During a hard time in my life, around 40, I guess that's true for a lot of us, marriage wasn't going well, my first marriage, and so we found our way to a pastoral counselor, and after several months of speaking with him and he listening to us, he asked me one day, "Tell me about your relationship with your father." "We're close," I said, "only he's not at home much. He travels 5 days a week, but he loves me. He tells me that." And then he said something to me that took my breath away and brought me to tears. He said, "Do you remember your dad's hands? Do you remember him holding you or hugging you? Do you remember when you were young, him ever bathing you?" I couldn't. And so out of that conversation, I went back to my father, Dad, and I said, "Dad, I miss your hands. Would you be willing to hug me when I come home?" And he broke into tears, as if all he was waiting for was permission from one of his sons. I finally figured out he served in World War II, and he probably was scared to death what he had done with his hands in that war, and he wanted to keep them quiet. But after that, every time we saw each other, he would take the initiative to reach out and hug me. We would ride in a car, and he would reach his hand out when driving and put it on my knee and squeeze my knee gently. And when he was feeling really frisky, he would squeeze it more tightly twice and say, "How does a horse eat corn?" The thing I remember most about my father, not his face, but I can draw to you right now what his hands were like. This is what they remembered about Jesus. God the Father had given all things into his hands. And those he healed, in almost every case, he did so by touching them, which was completely taboo. Whether it was the blind man or the lepers or Tabitha, the dead child, he reached out and touched them. And that, in as much as anything, is why they were brought back to health. The psalmist says, "Bless thou the work of our hands." And that is as good a prayer as any I know, because what we do with our hands is about as God-like a thing or a Satan-like a thing that there can be. We can give someone a hand up or we can push them down. Hands can hug or they can invade. Reach out, reach in and grab. The gestures that we make with our hands are about hospitality or contempt. We can wave, we can put out our hands and shake, or we can point our finger and raise our fist. The words that we write and type with our hands can create or destroy and tear down. Our hands are instruments of peace or conflict. And we can raise our hands in prayer or we can raise our fists in anger. The passage ends with Jesus saying, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this," he says, "every one of you will know that you are my disciples." By this, by washing their feet with his hands. And he sums it up. John sums it up. After Jesus had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Tonight, we let Jesus wash the dirt off our souls, S-O-U-L-S, as well as our S-O-L-E-S. Tomorrow we will discover, just as Pilate and all the disciples did, the blood on our own hands. And in 3 days, if we are willing, we will be amazed how that blood has been transformed and our hands transformed into the holy hands of the body of Christ, if we are willing.